You know, I just feel like the Lord is saying to each of us prophetically, it is time to become a carrier of the presence of God. Become a carrier, not of COVID-19, but of the presence of God. But it's almost a bit similar in that we want to become contagious with the presence of the living God. Let others catch it from us. I'm talking about you and I becoming super spreaders of his presence. I think I'm going to be a super spreader if COVID ever comes back to New Zealand, because I just hug everybody, and it's really hard when you're not allowed to. We have to stay 2 meters away from everyone. But I'm talking about today an analogy, so just relax. It's spiritual. You can become a spiritual super spreader of his presence. So when you walk into work, and when you walk into your class, and when you walk into the office, it's like, watch out, I'm a carrier. I am a carrier of his presence. So that's the title, Be a Carrier of His Presence. Now we know that God is everywhere. He is omnipresent. But at times, as many people in this room have experienced for themselves, God really turns up in the room. Like when we sang that beautiful new song about the Father's love, man, there's an anointing on that song. When God really turns up in the room, this is his manifest presence. His presence is manifested. And there is nothing like the presence of God on this planet. It's from another world. It's from heaven. Supernatural. Man, I can remember in my early walk with God, I think I'd been saved about 3 years, and Alan and I had just fallen in love. You know, our eyes met across a crowded church. We went running in slow motion towards each other. No, it wasn't quite like that. But anyway, we did meet at church in the youth group. And if you're single, that is a great place to meet that special someone. At young adults or young professionals, I'm just saying. Anyway, Alan used to be an accountant, and he would be away auditing. On average, he was away every 2 weeks, like 1 week out of two, half the time, half the year. That year we were going out in 1991, he was away. So I would really look forward to him coming back every Friday night, every second Friday night when he'd come back. I hadn't seen him for like 5 days, 4.5 days, 5 days. And I would be so excited about him coming back. But I can remember being in these meetings that Ian and Jane McCormick used to run. These meetings, and it wasn't a Sunday, it must have been a midweek thing, and I knew Alan was coming back, and I was thinking, at the end of this meeting, I'm just going to boost, I'm gone, because I'm going straight round to his flat to see him, because I haven't seen him for like 5 days. But the presence of God came, and it was better than seeing Alan, and I went nowhere. I thought, stuff him, I'm staying here, this is amazing. Now, as much as I loved him, I loved the presence of God even more. Because there's nothing like it. And I didn't rush off anywhere. I stayed. Because, man, I just was so hungry for the presence of God. It's such a beautiful thing. And what we're going to do today is something a bit different. Tell the person next to you, get ready. Tell the person on the other side, get ready. Because we're all going to get up out of our seats and move somewhere. And we're going to stand in the presence of God. In just a moment. You know, the more we hang out with God, the more his presence gets on us. And it sticks to us. And the Bible begins and ends with the presence of God. In Genesis, in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve walked in God's presence daily. And at the end, in Revelation 21 verse 3, it tells us how we're going to be in the presence of God for all eternity. Jesus came to earth to be God with us, Emmanuel. And then he died in our place and he rose again from the dead. Then he ascended to heaven and he sent the Holy Spirit to be God with us. And we carry him with us. We carry his presence and power on us daily, because God has always wanted to have a people who are marked by his presence. Not just by knowing about him, but by knowing him and carrying him. Exodus 33 verse 14. He, that's the Lord, said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. So God's heart has always been to be with his people. And when Moses, who God was speaking to in this instance, when he hung out with God, the residue of God's presence literally stayed on his face and he glowed. He wasn't radioactive. It was the presence of God. He was glowing so much so that everyone was staring at him and he felt a bit self-conscious, so he put a veil on. That's not very manly. But he did it because he was trying to sort of stop everyone looking at him maybe. But when we hang out with the Lord and encounter his presence, it gets on us. When I used to milk cows back on the farm, I would go to the cow shed. When I came home, I would smell like the cow shed. And then when I was in my party girl days, which went for a few years, I'd go to the pub or the nightclub or the rugby social or some party. And then I'd come home smelling like the pub, smelling like beer and smoke. That was not good. But when we hang out in the presence of God, we start to smell like him. We start to be like him. People notice it. In New World, earlier this week, I just walked into an aisle and a lady who works here goes, "Oh, you've got a good aura. I like your energy." And I was thinking, that's random. I hope she's talking about the presence of God. I hope I haven't got like a cloud of body odor following me or anything like that. When we pray and spend time in his presence, we become more like him. As we come into his house and worship him corporately together in church, his presence is always the goal. We are journeying from the outer courts into the inner courts of the King of Kings. We're shedding all that external stuff and we're getting real with God in his presence. You know, those praise and worship songs are important. They're not just a filler until we get to the word, until we get to the Bible. We're not just trying to fill in time while the late people come in. It's not just a filler until we get to the preaching. When we worship Jesus, we are going somewhere. We're going right into his presence, into the courts of the King, because we want to be with him. We want to be near him. We want to feel him. We want to hear his voice. We want to experience him. This is why we come to church to meet with the Lord. Not just for the great coffee that's out there and to see our friends. Those are good things, but to meet with the Lord. Because we are each designed by God to be a carrier of his presence. Tell the person next to you, "I'm going to be a carrier of his presence." Now I'm going to read to you our main text today, Joshua. Are you ready? We're going to pick it up. Joshua 3, pick it up in verse 2. They're about to enter the promised land and the Lord's giving them instructions and they're carrying them out. After 3 days, always watch out for 3 days, the third day miracles happen. All through the Bible where it says the third day or 3 days. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp. That's the camp of God's people, giving orders to the people. "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God and the priests who are Levites carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it." And whenever it says the Ark of the Lord your God, the Ark of the Covenant, I want you to think the presence of God. Because the presence of God dwelt on the Ark of the Covenant. So think of that. Whenever it says that, think the presence of God. "Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 900 meters between you and the ark. Do not go near it." Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." Joshua said to the priests, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and pass on ahead of the people." So they took it up and went ahead of them. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Today I'll begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel so that they may know I'm with you as was with Moses. Tell the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant, when you reach the edge of Jordan's waters, go and stand in the river." Joshua said to the Israelites, "Come here and listen to the words of the Lord your God. This is how you will know that the living God is among you and that he certainly will drive out before you all of those enemies. See, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth will go into the Jordan ahead of you. Now then, choose 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one from each tribe. And as soon as the priests who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, set foot in the Jordan, its waters flowing downstream will be cut off and stand up in a heap." So when the people broke camp to cross the Jordan, the priests, carrying the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God, went ahead of them. Now the Jordan is in flood all during harvest. Yet as soon as the priests who carried the presence of God, the ark, reached the Jordan and their feet touched the water's edge. The water from upstream stopped flowing. It piled up in a heap a great distance away at a town called Adam in the vicinity of Zarethan. While the water flowing down to the Sea of the Arabah, the Salt Sea, was completely cut off. So the people crossed. They crossed opposite Jericho. They crossed over. The priests who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan while all Israel passed by until the whole nation had completed the crossing on dry ground. Now, a little bit of background. As many of you know, it's the Ark of the Covenant. It's not Noah's Ark. It's an ark. It's like a big box. And it was a big deal to the people of God. It was a token and a symbol of the presence of God. And God chose in Old Testament times to dwell there between the mercy seat was the lid and it had these huge big two carved angels and he would dwell between the angels. That was where the presence of God was. And you couldn't really, when it was in the tabernacle, later the temple, you couldn't just cruise on in and out. Only the high priest could go in once a year. So God chose to dwell there. Then the ark was central in their worship. And this was pre-Jesus, so this is all they had of God at this point. The ark was also used for obtaining God's guidance. And it was to be carried on the priest's shoulders, as God had instructed in the book of Exodus. The presence of God today is still to be carried on us, on our shoulders. Now, King David once got them to carry it on a cart, which was a bad idea, and it backfired, and it didn't work, and someone died in the process. Uzzah put his hand out to steady it. Uzzah, and it just shows that the ark is not Uzzah-friendly. But anyway, that's a bad joke right there. But you know, somebody died. So it was never meant to be carried on a system, on a man-made system. The presence of God is not designed to be carried on man-made systems. The anointing is not on a system. It's on you. And it's on your shoulders. You are designed by God to carry his presence. And God's heart today is for all his people to be priests because priests minister to God. And it says that in Exodus 19 verse 6, the Lord said, you shall be, and this was God talking to all of the nation of Israel, his people. So God's saying to us, his people, you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. So we're all priests of God and we're all designed to carry his presence on our shoulders, just as these priests carried the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulders. We're to carry his presence upon us and wear it on our shoulders like a cloak. Now, verse 4, the presence of God moves first and then his people follow him. His presence leads us into new things. He goes before us to lead us where we have not yet been before. He leads us by his presence into our promised inheritance, into all he has called us to, into all he has for us. And we are to let his presence lead the way. We are not to get ahead of him, not just to do our own thing. In verse 5, it's important that we sanctify ourselves. That means purify ourselves. That means set ourselves apart for God. That means we get rid of anything unclean in our lives, anything sinful. We ask Jesus for forgiveness from our sins and we turn away from them. We repent of them. And so often, we want, as people of God, we want God to do wonders for us. We want God to do miracles for us. It says, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among us. And we want those wonders, but often we don't want to do the consecrating. We're not prepared to pay the price of sanctifying and setting ourselves apart for him. We don't want to pay the price of waiting on him. We don't want to pay the price of prayer, of living a holy life. And then the people of God are standing there. There's an impossible situation ahead of them here. God had promised them the land, but there's a flooded river between them and the promise. And God had told them to go in and possess it. And they're trying to obey him, but there's this barrier, this impossibility between them and what God has promised them. Have you ever been there? It's like the Lord has said, hey, you're going to do this. Go and do it. But there's this thing blocking you, blocking your path from doing what God's called you to do. And it looks impossible. But do you know what? They obeyed God anyway. And they did it carrying his presence. And they went in, right into that river. They walked in with his presence on their shoulders in faith. And as they took a step of faith and moved in obedience towards this impossible situation, God did a miracle. As they stepped into that river in faith, he stopped the waters flowing. 20 miles, he backed it up, 20 miles upstream in this town called Adam. He caused the Jordan River to pile up. I can't imagine what water piled up looks like. So it stopped flowing. And they couldn't see how this miracle happened, but the Lord did it. They stepped in, and as they stepped in, the miracle happened. And it would have happened earlier because it stopped flowing down there. So 20 miles further up. I love how his presence on our lives guides us into the miraculous. When all we can see is a flooded river, when all we can see is an impossible situation before us, know that the Lord is working upstream in your life. And he is cutting off things upstream that would flow down and try and hurt you. He is working on your behalf. When we carry the presence of God, he opens up the pathway before us. He has a pathway for you to walk, even when you can't see it, even when it's hiding beneath a flooded river, even when it's hiding beneath an impossible situation. The Lord can make a way where there isn't a way. He sees that pathway and he reveals it to you. So we need to make a choice to pick up his presence and put it on our shoulders and walk out in faith and do what he has called us to do. And I love how they put the ark, the presence on their shoulders where everyone could see it. We are to carry his presence on our shoulders and wear it like a cloak, like a garment, not hiding it away, not embarrassed about the Lord, not stuffing it up behind us, up our coat or something. But up high in the place of prominence on our shoulders, a place where everyone in your work, in your school, in your office can see it. We each need to be able to say, well, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God for salvation to all who believe. Romans 1:16. So we're not embarrassed to read our Bibles in a cafe or on the bus, even old school, the paper version. So we're not embarrassed to tell someone about Jesus. So we're not embarrassed when we see someone who's sick at work to lay hands on them, say, oh, I'd love to pray for you right now. My God can heal and see miracles happen. So we're not ashamed of him. We love Jesus so much that we cannot shut up about him. I've been reading this book by Pastor Bill Johnson called Hosting the Presence. I'm sure many of you have read it. And he said, the invasion of God into impossible situations comes through a people who have received power from on high and have learned to release it into the circumstances of life. There may be many of you here today who are facing something in your life or your whānau that is impossible. But I want to tell you, as you carry the presence of God on your life and walk into it in faith, God will do the miraculous. And we can say, well, what's he going to do? How's he going to do it? We don't know. He does stuff upstream that we can't see. He's amazing. Today, we, the people of God, still carry his presence on our shoulders. We carry him with us wherever we go. We carry him to those at work and school in darkness who need him. And today, in these last days, we're coming closer to the return of Christ than we've ever been before. So in these times, we need to carry an even greater measure of his presence than ever before. And when we do, we live in the benefit of it. Here's two more scriptures. You want more joy? It's found in his presence. Psalm 16:11. In your presence, God is fullness of joy. Not a little bit of joy, fullness of joy. This world is trying to get joy. It's trying to get it in any way it can, through drugs, legal and illegal, through alcohol, through trying to watch funny stuff on random memes on Netflix and Facebook and Instagram and funny. But these funny things are funny. I like funny stuff. But man, joy is a different deal. It's with you all the time. If we want to be refreshed, that comes from his presence too. Acts 3:19 talks about that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. When we carry the presence of God, we are greatly blessed. But when it's all about me and I'm not carrying his presence and I don't have enough energy or focus left for God, then I'm devoid of it. But when God is central in my life, then it's all about him and the focus is on him. I don't know everyone here today, and I don't know where everyone's at. But here's a thought I wrote down. Maybe you used to be a carrier of his presence a long time ago. Maybe when you were younger. But now, just maybe, now you know you're not anymore. We can all drift. Apathy can get on us. The current of this world can carry us and we end up being somewhere where we had never planned on going. Maybe you've drifted and now instead of carrying the presence of God, you're carrying other things instead. Cynicism, criticism, anger. And you find it coming up when you're watching sports on TV or at your kid's soccer game or driving in traffic. It's just right there. It's just like your fuse is this short. To get to the place where we stop carrying his presence is a subtle and insidious thing. It creeps up on us. It's not like we deliberately decide that we don't love God anymore and we're not going to worship him any longer. It's not like we wake up one morning and go, that's it, I've had it with you, Jesus. I'm signing up to be a Satanist. No, it's a gradual process. We drift. We gradually become so focused on ourselves and on other things, and we just don't spend as much time with God as we used to. We don't consult his opinion anymore or ask him what to do. We don't stop to consider how he would see a particular situation. And we gradually become more infatuated with ourselves than we do with God. We kind of forget to read our Bible and we're just too tired to pray because we've been up so late watching so much Netflix. And we just can't make the time to get to church as much as we used to do. We wake up one day and realize that we are not where we used to be, but we have drifted with the current of this world. And we've ended up in a place that we never intended to be. Miles from where we used to be and so far from where we wanted to get to. But we can make a decision today. I am coming back into his presence. I am coming back into the presence of God. I'm going to carry a double dose. I ain't going to drift anymore. I'm not going to drift away from his word. I'm not going to drift away from his house. I'm not going to drift away from bringing my tithes and offerings. I'm not going to drift from him in prayer. I'm not going to drift from his presence anymore. I'm going to, number one, I've got two quick points and then the band will come. Number one, I'm going to prioritize his presence. If we love and serve God in the private realm where no one can see us, then he tends to thrust us into the public realm where all can see us. It's only though when we first love and serve God in the private realm that he can trust us to love and serve him in the public realm. Do you know, before David was ever king of Israel, he was a shepherd faithfully looking after his dad's sheep down the back of the farm. He served God faithfully in private with those sheep. So God promoted him in public. God said, you've been good with your father's sheep. I'm going to put you in charge of all of my sheep in the whole nation. David also worshipped God passionately with his 10-string lyre or whatever it was. Like it sounds like a guitar to me. Privately, when no one was watching. So God promoted him in public. And then God got David to organize this whole new way of 24/7 worship with all these choirs and Levites and musicians who worship God day and night in his house. What we do in private matters. We all want to do great things in public, but we will never be promoted by God to do something publicly unless we've first been proven faithful privately. So my question for all of us, myself included, today is, how's your private walk with God? The one that no one sees. Because when we are faithful to him when no one's watching, he will then promote us where we can be faithful to him when everyone is watching. Number two, access his presence. Prioritize his presence. Bands come, please. Access his presence. And we've got to access his presence daily. We've got to get alone with him. Pastor Phil Pringle, and I think it's from his book, Moving in the Spirit, he said, God is waiting for his people to wait on him. What gets you into the presence of God? Is it singing, worshiping? Is it prayer? Is it reading the word? Is it solitude and listening to his voice? Is it journaling? Walking with him in his creation. However we each connect with God is the thing we need to make regular time for in our lives so we can meet with God in that way. This is of vital importance. Then the weight of his presence gets on us and we get healed and whole and we get filled up with his love and his joy. Even in times of pain and grief, the Lord's presence is very healing. I remember a few years ago when I was going through something painful, a particular worship song really spoke to me. So I would just get alone with God and put on this worship song and cry in the presence of God. And he would come with his presence and he healed my heart. I heard about a friend of ours too who was going through a marriage breakup a few years ago. He did the same thing. The Lord gave him this particular worship song that had an anointing on it, and he would just sit in a chair, put this worship song on, sit in God's presence, cry, and let the Lord heal his heart. When we're broken and in pain, we don't run from him, we run to him. When we're broken, we've got to get sent back to the manufacturer, the one who made us. He's the one who knows how to fix us. Only him. When we get into his presence, we have joy, we have refreshing, we have healing. We have access to everything we need. And if there was ever a guy who knew how to access the presence of God, I'm going to finish with this story. It was a guy called Smith Wigglesworth. And I often talk about him because I love it. That guy. I can't wait to meet him in heaven. He was a wild man from Yorkshire where Pastors James and Mary are from. And he came to New Zealand in the 20s. That guy was a plumber. He was illiterate. He didn't get to go to school because from the age of 7, he had to work 12 hours a day in a turnip field. He didn't ever preach his wife the Bible. When he was 48 years old, like middle-aged, he got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And everything changed. And he started preaching. And he preached with great power. And he saw signs, wonders, and miracles. And when he first got up in the pulpit and started preaching, his wife, Polly, yelled out from the front row, "That's not my Smith!" She didn't even recognize him. He was like a different person. He raised 14 people from the dead. Those are the ones we know about that were like written about. And he saw countless healings, signs, wonders, and miracles. He had a huge prayer life, much of it in tongues. He led many people to the Lord, even just one-on-one. And when he came to New Zealand, I want to read a short excerpt from a book called New Zealand's Greatest Revival by H.V. Roberts. And H.V. Roberts was in the room, and this is what happened. There were 11 leading Christians in prayer with our brother Smith at a special afternoon meeting. Each had taken a part. The evangelist, Wigglesworth, then began to pray for the dominion. That's of Great Britain, I think, of all of the countries, New Zealand, Australia. And as he continued, each man, according to their measure of spirituality, each of the 11 got out of the room. The power of God filled the room and they could not remain in an atmosphere supercharged by the power of God. So this guy, the author, H.V. Roberts, he heard about this from someone who was present at that prayer meeting. He registered a vow. He said, if the opportunity came, at any rate, I'm going to remain in that room. If I ever get to be in a prayer meeting like that with Smith, I'm going to stay no matter who else goes out. So during the stay in the Sounds, I think that's the Marlborough Sounds, a special meeting was called to pray for the other towns in New Zealand yet to be visited. A like position to the other meeting now arose. Here was the opportunity, the challenge. The contest was on. A number prayed. Then the old saint, Smith Wigglesworth, began to lift up his voice. And strange as it may seem, the exodus began. A divine influence began to fill the place. The room became holy. The power of God began to feel like a heavy weight. One by one, these other guys left the room. But with a set chin and a definite decision not to budge, the only other one now left in the room hung on and hung on until the pressure became too great and he could stay no longer. With the floodgates of his soul pouring out a stream of tears and with uncontrollable sobbing, he knew he had to get out or die. And a man who knew God, as few do, was left alone, immersed in an atmosphere that few men could breathe in. Wow, what a prayer meeting that would have been. This is what happens when the presence of God comes. It's intense. The Lord is wanting us to carry more of his presence than we have before, a greater measure. And he wants to entrust it to those who are hungry for him. So we can carry it to those living in darkness. So we can carry it into our work, into our school. Let's stand today, shall we? We need to each ask ourselves, am I a carrier of his presence? Do I make time to get in his presence daily? Or has my walk with God become merely an intellectual exercise? Is he a hobby I sometimes do? Or is he everything? If I'm no longer carrying his presence in my life, then where did I leave it? Where did you leave it? Is it somewhere back in your past, in your teenage years? Did you leave it back at that youth camp? Was it back at Increase Conference? Was it back at that Connect group you used to go to? God is saying to us again, pick it up again. It is time to carry his presence right up here on our shoulders with us every day. Decide today, I'm not going to live another day without him. I am hungry for God. What I want us to do right now is to move out of our seats and move somewhere in the auditorium as we sing this worship song to praise him. I will encourage you to come to the front because our ministry team are going to lay hands on those who come to the altar. But if you just want to go out to the sides and move somewhere and get with God, do that. But I want to encourage you, move somewhere. As a symbol, take a step, move out of your place as a symbolic gesture of, I'm not staying where I am. God, I'm coming closer to you. I'm going to carry more of your presence on my shoulders than I had before. Let's move now. Thank you, Lord. Let's get hungry. Let's become carriers of his presence in Jesus' name.